Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for our weekly Eco Money segment, where we bring you the latest in sustainability and finance. Now, we've covered green bonds, we've covered green loans, we've talked about sustainability-linked products extensively as part of this segment. But one area we're yet to closely examine is the shift ESG is having on the insurance industry. And we're joined today by Brad Mendelson, and he's senior partner and Asia insurance practice lead at McKinsey, and he's joining us on the line from Hong Kong. Brad, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
So Brad, let's start off with a recent report that you published. And in the report, you say that during times of crisis, you know, insurance is meant to be a stabilizing force for society, to reinforce this image that insurers should look to adopt ESG practice principles throughout their organizations to make sure that they're creating a better world for all. It all sounds really wonderful, but you know, beyond that, how is ESG really impacting the insurance industry? And let's start off by looking at the E.
You know, I think it's still early days for ESG in the insurance industry. We've definitely seen an increase in emphasis around this during the COVID-19 crisis. And, you know, what we're really trying to get at with that statement is the concept of ESG, but also how it relates to the concept of purpose for insurance carriers. And during COVID, a lot of carriers have really, you know, looked in the mirror and said, are we delivering on our purpose as an institution and as an industry, right? We're here to absorb and to spread risk. And are we doing that? You know, a number of carriers have, made moves like returning premium for motor policies or introducing COVID cover into their health policies. Mm-hmm. They've made small moves in terms of, you know, trying to shift toward their purpose. But a lot of carriers are, you know, now spending more time and thinking about how do they embed their purpose and their beliefs in ESG into the organization and really get more buy-in and more action around it.
What would you say are some of the key drivers for this shift, Brad? I mean, you've mentioned COVID-19 there as one element. Do you think that's really been the key accelerator, or are there other elements at play here?
Yeah, so, you know, I think COVID-19 is one of them, but, you know, this is a trend and a shift that's been underway. I think another big one is frankly, employees and customers are increasingly demanding that companies pay more attention to this and frankly, make more progress on it. Mm-hmm. We talk to a lot of CEOs who are saying, you know, in these Zoom town halls that I'm now having in a remote environment, I'm getting some really tough questions from employees at all levels of the organization. And they're really pressing us to put more emphasis behind this topic and make more progress. And we see that with customers as well. You know, increasingly you see customers are making choices around the companies they want to buy from based on how they feel like they're performing on some of these dimensions.
And what does that really mean for insurance providers? Because obviously there are two elements to it. Looking at it from a corporate perspective, how they're aligning their corporate policies with their ESG goals, but also from a product perspective. So maybe we can just start off with the latter there and really narrowing it down. Can you tell us more about the impact on the development of insurance product? You briefly mentioned COVID cover there, but let's talk about sustainability and the issue of product governance as well, because that's really been gaining ground as the market's expectations regarding product development, data security, and that's been a key issue as well with everything that's been happening in the last year or so, and ethical performance. All of these areas continue to rise. So how do you really see this shifting products within the sector?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple of things there. One is in traditional products, we're starting to see some carriers look at ESG as a way to understand the customers that they may insure. And this is particularly on the commercial side where they're insuring small, medium, and large businesses. So we're starting to see their own ESG perception of their customers play into, you know, whom they want to insure, whom they're willing to insure, and how they're going to underwrite and price that. So I think that's one element. But then, you know, the element you talked about in terms of governance and product features is also really important. And, you know, I think one of the most important elements is around data. So insurance has always been a data-driven industry, but even more so over the past couple of years and looking forward, carriers are trying to figure out ways to leverage new data sets and to use more advanced analytics. And they're trying to do it to improve the experience for customers and also, you know, be more accurate in how they assess the risks that they're taking. And there's a lot of benefits to this, but there's also a lot of things that carriers, I think, are now recognizing they have to be wary of. And this is, you know, as you mentioned, it's privacy, but it's also, you know, this whole concept of ethical AI and making sure that these models that are built really aren't disadvantaging any particular customer group. So this is an area of great scrutiny, but also, you know, I think important evidence or emphasis. And I think it's something if, you know, between the industry and regulators, if they can, you know, if they can get right, it'll enhance the customer experience and really be good for the industry at large.
And Brad, I'm glad you mentioned ethical AI because I find it such a fascinating topic. How is this being developed and handled within the industry? Because obviously when you're looking at AI and ethics, it's quite a broad spectrum, isn't it? And you're looking at algorithms, how different clients are categorized, I guess you could say. So how is this being addressed within the industry at the moment? What are some of the changes that you're seeing on that front?
One of the things that, you know, regulators around the world really care about is, and not to get too technical, but they care about the explainability of an insurance carrier's pricing model. So, you know, if you're going to collect information from a customer and you're going to use that to generate a price that's specific to that customer, you need to be able to explain it. And in many ways, AI goes, you know, goes against that principle, right? In some cases, it's actually hard to explain the results from an AI model. So, you know, there's a lot of work being done to use insights from AI, but then turn them into more traditional explainable models that everybody can look at and test and you know, really pry into and get comfortable with, you know, the results and the fact that they're not going to disadvantage one particular group unfairly. Mm. So I think that's one approach, but it is not easy, as you point out.
Moving to the wider issue of climate change, how are insurers managing climate-driven risks at the moment? And what are some of the opportunities and challenges that this presents?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this is definitely rising on the agenda of insurance carriers. You know, globally, I think banks are actually further ahead. So insurance carriers are trying to catch up. Frankly, you know, many of the European carriers, I think, have gotten a little further ahead than the rest of the world here. But when we talk to carriers, there are some, you know, as you point out, there's some challenges here to be overcome, but then there's also some opportunities around climate change. You know, on the challenge side, we see a lot of work being done to really understand what are the existing climate exposures that an insurance company has. And this is, you know, oftentimes it relates to property. So, you know, where are we likely to get increased floods or where are we likely to get increased storm activity? Mm-hmm. But also in terms of lives and livelihoods, it pertains to, you know, where do we think areas of the world might become less inhabitable or more dangerous? So we see a lot of work to try and kind of understand exposures and get comfortable with the level of exposures that they have. The other big thing which dominates a lot of the headlines is work around climate investment strategies and making sure that the investment portfolio that the insurance company holds, that they're comfortable with the types of investments they're making. And this, you know, typically creates a debate around certain types of energy assets, certain types of defense assets, and so forth. So I think, you know, those are some of the more defensive or kind of, you know, on the challenging side. On the opportunity side, you know, we see a lot of carriers that are thinking about how do we help our own clients, particularly companies, but also customers, how do we help them manage their own climate risk and mitigate that climate risk? You know, as an insurance company, we should know a lot about how this could potentially play out. So we want to help our customers manage that risk. And then also, you know, developing products to help customers mitigate it and being a voice in the industry and outside the industry to kind of lead the public conversation on risk. So we're, you know, we're seeing carriers pretty active in kind of tackling perceived challenges as well as opportunities.
We're speaking with Brad Mendelson, Senior Partner and Asia Insurance Practice Lead at McKinsey. So Brad, what would you say will be one of the biggest game changers when it comes to ESG and insurance in the year ahead?
Wow, so that's a tough question. I hesitate to make predictions, but I think I would say a couple of things. I think you're going to see continued commitments from insurance carriers around their investment portfolio and the types of assets they're willing to invest in versus not. And then I think you're going to see greatly enhanced kind of reporting and public communication around ESG and commitments that carriers are going to make. And these are commitments in areas around how they're going to treat their employees, how they're going to try and operate to the benefit of their customers, and how they're going to try and help the environment.
So can you share with us then, Brad, what are some good examples of ESG insurance policies and programs that really illustrate a high level of risk awareness?
A few things, right? And I'll stay away from mentioning specific companies, but we are seeing some companies where they've made real changes to their investment guidelines, and they've disposed of certain assets and they've doubled down in others to kind of walk the talk, if you will. We've seen others that have very explicitly built the ESG scores of their corporate clients into their underwriting and pricing algorithms. Right, so that's kind of another, very specific one. And then, we've seen a few others that are really embracing this idea of how do we embrace the mission of insurance, and how do we try and make sure that our company is achieving things like improving financial literacy, improving economic inclusion, improving kind of the lives of the less fortunate, and making insurance a real tool for closing that protection gap. So there are a number of things being done around that as well that we find are pretty inspirational.
So, Brad, would you say that ESG potentially could be one of the biggest pivotal shifts that we're going to see within the insurance industry going forward on the back of COVID-19?
We've done a survey with a number of insurance executives, and what we found is that ESG is typically now in the top, call it three or four, in the on the agenda of most CEOs and senior teams. And I would say that's new compared to 5 years ago. So I do think that it's much higher now in the pecking order and in the area of importance for these insurance companies. And we think that that's going to continue. So it will definitely help to shape the industry in the next decade ahead.
Thank you very much, Brad.
It's been great speaking with you. Thanks for inviting me.
We've been speaking with Brad Mendelson, Senior Partner and Asia Insurance Practice Lead at McKinsey here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.